Well, good to see everybody. How y'all doing today? Y'all ready to get rolling? If you're a guest here, hey, thank you guys for coming. My name's Todd. I'm the pastor. Just want to welcome you. And we are starting today a brand new series on relationships. And we're going to be looking at the Song of Songs. And we'll talk about that in a moment. It's really a book that's written as a song. And it was written by Solomon as a song. And I'm a musician and I love music. And so this is a love song. We're going to do the next 4 weeks about relationships based on some guy's love song. I think that's kind of cool. Do you?
Yes.
Okay, y'all going to talk to me today?
Yes.
Are you alive and well?
Yes.
Are you excited to be here on a beautiful Sunday?
Yes.
Good. I really enjoy relationship series because there's actually one of two ways that we'll all learn. We learn through truth, or we learn through trial and tribulation. So truth or tribulation, you pick. And so I'm praying today that we can look at the Song of Songs and we can learn in truth how to correct the wrongs in our relationships that we have. I'll be honest, I'm one of those guys, unfortunately, as I look back on my life, I realize that there are many times that I did not learn in truth, I learned through tribulation, and I don't want that for you, so hopefully you can learn from some of my mistakes, and we can see in the Bible how to make things right. Y'all ready for that?
Yes.
Good. So the book of Song of Songs was written by Solomon, wisest man who's lived. He wrote the book of Proverbs as well, and the book of Ecclesiastes, and he was known for all of his Proverbs. He wrote over 3,000 Proverbs, but he wrote 1,005 songs, and this is like the top of the top of his songs, and so he named it Song. It is the Song of Songs because it's the number one, and it's a love song that he wrote, and it's a love song that he wrote to his bride. And that's why we're looking at it. And so there's three main characters in the book of the Song of Songs. And one is the young man. It's Solomon as a young man in a courtship relationship with a woman who's going to be his wife. The next one is the young woman, the Shulamite woman, who he's betrothed to and ultimately marries. And then the third character that we see, though we're not going to look at it today, are the daughters of Jerusalem. And those are the young woman's friends. So love song. I love the 80s and the 70s music. So I love music. Can anybody think of some love songs from the 80s that may define your relationship? Come on, y'all throw out some love songs. Just love songs from the 80s. Do y'all know any?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, what are they?
Open Arms.
Open Arms, yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
I want to know what love is.
I want to know what love is. I love that song. It's a great song. I want you to show me, though. what else? Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna turn around. Yep, I love it. That's a great song. Any other ones? I'm just gonna do karaoke here in a moment with no music. Never gonna let you down, that's a good one.
Depeche Mode,
I couldn't hear it. But I don't like Depeche Mode, I don't know. How about, what's that?
Endless Love.
Endless Love. Yeah. I'm just saying, for me, it was more like Love is a Battlefield. Anybody ever at that one have a Love Hurts? Love. For some of y'all, it's Tina Turner, though. What's love got to do with it? Come on, Ike, leave the woman alone. Nothing, apparently. Love had nothing to do with that relationship. Woo! So we're going to look for the next 4 weeks, starting today, about love and what the Bible says and what Solomon writes in his love song. And so this week, we're looking at attraction. Next week, we'll be looking at like seasons of love, because just so you know, love isn't always touchy-feely and fun. Sometimes love has to deal with hard and difficult things. We're going to talk about those seasons next week. Then we're going to talk about the week after that, the third week, about the differences and dealing with differences between people in relationships. And much of this will be focused on marriage, though in reality, it's for everyone. And then the final one is lasting love. How do you create healthy love in relationships that can make the distance? They can go the distance. And I know that's a 90s song. We're going the distance. You remember that? Nope, nobody. Okay. Nobody was Cake fans. I'm like a walking jukebox. Is anybody else like a walking jukebox? Dear Lord. So we're going to look at the art of attraction, and we're going to start with Song of Songs. We're going to go through the first chapter today and a little bit of the second chapter. So the first verse says, this is Solomon's Song of Songs, more powerful than any other. And then the second and third verses, they're going to be our key verses. So let's look at verse 2. I love it. It's our theme. This is the young woman, and this is what she says. Kiss me and kiss me again. Okay, time out. I'm going to lay down some ground rules for this series. You ready? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, as you can see, this is like a PG-13 R-rated book. I'm just saying, it kind of is. And so if you got kids, like we love your kids, they're great. Maybe they're better in kids' church if they're under 13. Just saying. But here's my number one. I'm not going to pull punches because this book does not pull punches. And let me encourage you a couple things. And we heard about small groups. Do me a favor. Pick up the devotional guide with this series that we wrote to go along with every message. So pick it up and apply it. My wife and I will be doing this together. I haven't told her yet, but she knows. We will. We'll be doing it. What are y'all laughing? Really? She's the one that's telling me, oh no, we got to spend time doing this stuff. So I'm not going to pull any punches because the text doesn't pull punches. It's why it's like, kiss me and kiss me again. This is a very sensual book and truthfully deals with a lot of sexual aspects of what God created in sexuality for us inside of marriage. So I'm not going to pull punches. Here's the second thing. You need to listen for yourself and not another person. Y'all get this?
Yeah.
Listen for yourself, not for another person. You don't need to be ladies when I'm talking to the men and busting their chops. You don't need to be going, amen, that's right. You don't need to be elbowing, men, you don't need to be elbowing your wife. See, I told you. No. Don't listen for somebody else. Listen for yourself. That's the next thing. And then don't listen backwards. Don't listen backwards. I mean, maybe you're here and you've been married, like married and divorced like 15 times. Well, we're just going to believe that if you're going to get married again, number 16 is going to stick. It's going to be great because we're going to speak words of life and we're going to apply God's words to our life so that we can live the life that he's called us to. Deal?
Yes.
Good. Back to verse 2. Kiss me again, for your love is sweeter than wine. Why would he write that? Why do we say that? He's saying, this young woman is saying to him, hey, kiss me. Hey, baby. Kiss me again. Hey, your love is sweeter than wine. Why is that? Here's why. How many of you know that wine has an effect on people? Come on. It's almost Mardi Gras. And we in Southwest Louisiana and us North Dakota and Michigan fight over which state drinks the most per capita. Look it up. It's the truth. Louisiana, North Dakota, and Michigan. We're constantly battling over who drinks the most. And if you know anything growing up in Southwest Louisiana, you know this, that alcohol affects some people. And this is what she says. Hey, baby, kiss me. Oh, can you kiss me a second time? Listen, you don't have to tell most men that. Like, kiss me. Okay. Yeah. Hey, kiss me again. And let me tell you why. Because your love has an unbelievable effect on me. Most marriage relationships are not like that, sadly. Over 50% of marriages, and really it's closed in on 60% of marriages end in divorce. But listen to me, there's some hope. Did y'all know that the millennial generation that everybody likes to rag on when they're a little bit older, you know when they get married, they stay married. To the degree almost as much as the boomers. The great generation. I'm talking the boomers' parents. It's pretty impressive, isn't it? So there's some hope. But let me tell you where our hope is found. In recognizing that God's plan for us in marriage and in, now we're talking romantic relationships, is for there to be passion and for our love to have a good effect. You know anybody that's had bad wine? Not that I've had bad wine, not that you've had bad wine. When you drink bad wine, what happens? Let me tell you what happens. People tell me bad things happen when you drink bad wine. Has anybody drank some? Don't raise your hand. Y'all drink some bad wine? You know some people that have and some bad things have happened? Come on. But it's sweeter than wine. Look at verse 3. It says, how pleasing is your fragrance? I read an article yesterday, just randomly, that we can know the difference between over 50,000 types of smell. Isn't that cool? I'm the only one that thinks that cool. Y'all got to talk to me, people. Come on now. Isn't it cool that we can know the difference between 50,000 different types of smell? Have you ever smelled something and it took you back? Like you remembered something, took you to a good place. And look at what she's saying. How pleasing is your fragrance? Because this is one thing that everybody knows. And I'm not talking about our nose. I'm talking about we know. Like people got to smell, don't they? Come on, have you ever heard the adage, well, I'm going to have to sniff that out. Have y'all heard that? Have y'all said, I need to be around that person. I need to sniff that out. I remember when, I hope my kids aren't here. I remember when I was in high school, maybe it was even junior high, and my mama would want to come up and smell on me. Nobody else's mama did that? Come here, baby. Come here. You need to come, now give me a hug. Well, I don't want to hug you, mom. I'm like, no, give me a hug. Come here. I want to smell you. Okay. Let me smell your breath. Mom, you don't want to know. Let me smell you. Nobody else got that? I was the only one that got that? Come on. I want to smell you. Yeah. Oh, come on. Y'all, somebody's laughing. How many of you, your mama smelled on you? Come on, raise them high. Like this half, like, yeah, y'all had mamas that smelled you. This must be the half that like you were like doing something maybe you shouldn't have been doing. Everybody over here, you're liars. No. What's the point is that we all, listen to me, we all have, and now I'm talking metaphorically, we all have a fragrance to our life. It has nothing to do with the clothes or the cologne that we're wearing or what shampoo or soap we used. There's a fragrance. What does your life give off? And the relationships that you have, what do the people closest to you say about you? Because she's saying, how pleasing is your fragrance? Your name is like it's spreading fragrance. No wonder all the young women love you. Wow. Men, wouldn't it be great if you had to beat the women off of the stick? I don't know anybody that, my dad used to tell me, oh, son, the women just got to beat you off with a stick. Never really happened. And it was a miracle that I got married to the wife that I got married to. But this I know, there's a fragrance to each of our lives. And here's my heart for you today, that you can live your life in such a way that the people that you are in relationship with are attracted to you. How many of y'all want that? I do. I want the people that I'm in a relationship with to want to be around me. Have you ever been in a relationship with someone but you didn't want to be around them? Is that a fun thing? No, it's a miserable thing. And here's my heart for you. That is, you listen for yourself. You can say, Lord, help me. Help me to be a life that is lived where other people want to be around me and are attracted to me. Have you ever met somebody who was just, you wanted to be around them? One of the people that I think of when I think of somebody who just wanted to be around, he passed away last year. His name was Ernie Topher. He lived in Eunice, ran a dive shop and a welding shop. But everybody that he encountered loved him. Do you know why? Because his life smelled good. I mean, I don't know kind of if he was wearing, you know, like Degree deodorant or what. I have no idea, but I know this. People wanted to be around him. Do you know why? Because this is what you encountered every time you were around him. Love. Like you felt loved. Have you ever been around somebody that just showers you with love and it's not fake, it's sincere. They want to be around you because they love you. Have you ever been around those people? Yeah, don't you want to be around them? Don't you get excited to go see them because they make you feel loved? Does anybody experience something like that? And the next thing was joy, that Mr. Ernie was over, like he was full of joy. It didn't matter what was going on. He was going to be full of joy. Listen to me, he wasn't always over the top happy, but there was a seed inside of him of life that would spring up and there was joy in his heart. and there was peace. Those are the first three fruits of God's Spirit. I want that to be in your life. And listen to me, I'm preaching this message for me. We're talking about the art of attraction. Like, y'all know I'm a music guy. I love music. Switchfoot, which is one of my favorite bands, just put out a new album called Native Tongue. And one of their songs is called The Hardest Art. And it's about love. And their chorus is that love is the hardest art to learn. And there is an art to it because there's no science for love. Okay, y'all familiar with the scientific method? For something to be scientifically proven, it has to be, was one word, tested. It has to be, well, yes, you test it to find out if it's, here's the word, I'm just going to give it to you, reproducible. So love is an art. Have y'all figured that out?
Yes.
And it's hard. But I'm telling you, we can look at the scripture today and find out what makes us attractive. Let's look at verse 4. She says, how pleasing is your fragrance. Your name is like a spreading fragrance. And verse 4 says, take me with you. Come, let's run. The king has brought me into his bedroom. Y'all know what this is talking about? Or do I have to explain it? I'm going to trust that you guys are emotionally intelligent. Yes? Thank you. Good. And so this is really what I believe is the foundation of all attraction that we see in the next few verses, the next three verses, verses 5-7, in this young woman and what she's saying. And she says this. She says, I'm dark, but beautiful. O women of Jerusalem, dark as the tents of Kedar, dark as the curtains of Solomon's tents. She says, I'm dark, but I'm beautiful. Now here's the thing, like today, like we want to be tanned. Like I'm white, I don't tan. I have different shades of red and peeling. That's it, that's all I get. So there ain't no tanning with this white guy, but white people, I don't get it. They want to be tan. I don't understand it, but they do. And at this time, it was a sign of you being in a lower socioeconomic class because you were working out in the sun. And so she's saying, I'm dark but beautiful, O women of Jerusalem, and I'm as dark as the tents of Kedar. They were black. Dark as the curtains of Solomon's tents. They were black. And she's saying, I'm dark but I'm beautiful. And so I want you to get that she's, this is important. Look at the next verse though. Look at verse 6. She says, don't stare at me because I'm dark. The sun's darkened my skin. And then she goes on to say why she's been out in the sun. My brothers were angry with me, and they forced me to care for their vineyards. So I couldn't care for myself, my own vineyard. So there's some practical aspects of this, but it's also a picture. It's a metaphor of her life. And she's saying, listen, I know that I'm dark. I know that I may not be like attractive what everybody else says, but you don't need to be staring at me. You don't know where I've come from. You don't know my past. You don't know what my brothers did to me. There's connotations of abuse in here, of neglect, of forced labor. And she's saying, I couldn't care for myself, my own vineyard. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, tell me, my love. And now she's talking to the young man. Where are you leading your flock today? Where will you rest your sheep at noon? For why should I wander like a prostitute among your friends and their flocks? And actually, this was common. The laborers in the fields, there would often be prostitutes along the edges of the field, and they would be veiled. And when the men were done working, they would go and connect with the prostitutes. Some of them, she's saying, oh, this isn't me, though. And I think in verses 5-7, here's what we see. Really in verses 2-7, we see the foundation for what makes people attractive. You ready? And here's the first one, three things. The first one is this, spiritual attraction. The essence of who we are is spirit. And there is a spiritual attraction that when we recognize that there is a spiritual component to attraction, and if you think attraction has everything to do and only everything to do with the outward appearance, you are mistaken, because even God says that we see that God says, he says, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. And the truth is that, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody who's like really, they're put together on the outside, but then they open their mouth and then they act and do something and you're like, oh my gosh, that is the most unattractive thing in the world. Y'all ever seen that? spiritual attraction. So I want you to understand how to become spiritually attractive. You ready? I got three things. And if you're taking notes, you can take them on the app or in your worship guide. Here it is, how to become spiritually attractive. You have to know who you are. You have to know who you are. Look at what she says in verse 5. I'm dark, but I'm beautiful. Here's what she's saying. I don't care that my outside may not be what I want it to be. I know I'm dark, but guess what? I'm still beautiful. See, we look on the outside, don't we? And we define beauty in this oftentimes really ridiculous manner. And that we are so focused on what the exterior is like that we fail to realize that at our essence, we are not physical in our essence. We just are temporarily in this earth suit. I'm so grateful for the upbringing that I had that was colorblind, because the truth is I never understood racism ever. It made zero sense to me, because at the end of the day, we're all people. And yet we look at people and how they dress. We look at people and the color of their skin. We look at what they clothe themselves in and what they drive, what's covering them. And then we make a judgment call as to whether or not they are an attractive person. Am I making sense at all, people? And let me tell you, the person who knows who they are, that they have a recognition of who they truly are, that person is unbelievably attractive, because there is a confidence inside of them that they may say, you know what? I know I'm short. I know I'm squatty. I know I may not be perfect. I know that I may not look the best, or I may not dress the best, but guess what? I know who I am. And let me tell you, that person who's full of God and full of His Spirit and knows who they are and stands in confidence and says, this is who I am because this is how God has made me, that person is very attractive. And people want to be around them. Conversely, the person who's beat down, head down, I don't know if I'm good enough to be here. I'm no good. Oh, I hate myself. I hate myself. It's not very attractive, is it? You know what else isn't attractive? The person who's dressed to the nines, looks sharp, hair's cut, shiny white, everything's wonderful. But they walk around like they are it. Like, it's good to know. Is that attractive? They can be externally beautiful and you can still go, oh, that is nasty. And that person has a wrong view of who they are, and we have two opposite extremes. Listen to me. You have to know who you are, and you will never know who you are outside of knowing, loving, and worshiping God. So this is, if you want to know who you are, this is where it begins. You have to know, love, and worship God. Can we put that up? If you're going to know who you are, you have to know, love, and worship God. You got to know, love, and worship God. The only way that you will ever find out who you truly are is encountering the one who made you. He designed you. He planned you. He knows you. Do you know who you are? Hated myself for a lot of years. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. And it affected the relationships in my life tremendously, because I viewed myself wrongly. And I was like a ping pong. I'd go from, I'm horrible, stupid, terrible. My self-talk was horrific. I'm ugly. I'm dumb. Nobody likes me. I'm an idiot. I'm a loser. Two, I'm the best thing that's ever happened. Look at me. I'd do something great and I'd, boom, wow, that was amazing. Look at me. Ain't nobody as good as me. You think you know. And I'd go back and forth. I was a double-minded man. The book of James says that you'll be unstable in all of your ways. And listen to me, if you're double-minded and you are not centered on the truth of who God created you to be, and you live at one extreme or the other, or you bounce back between the two, you will be unstable in all of your ways, but this is where it will manifest itself most, in the relationships with the people that are closest to you. You got to know who you are. She says, I'm dark, but I'm beautiful. Are you okay with who you are? I'm going to ask that again, and I want you to think, are you okay with who you are? If you're not, You don't know the real you. You don't know God like you should. And here's the third thing. You ready? So change it. Change it. Did you know you can change your mindset about yourself with the truth of who God says you are if you love and worship Him? The next thing, here's number two. How do I build spiritual, like to be a spiritually attractive? I have to know who I am in Jesus. The second thing is I have to understand God's plan. I have to understand God's plan. Look at verse 6. She says this, don't stare at me. Don't stare at me because I'm dark. You don't know what my brothers have done. You don't know what my past is. You don't know what's happened to me. You don't know what other people have done to me. But listen to me. You don't need to stare at me because of where I come from and what's happened and why I am like I am. Because let me tell you, there's a plan. And the plan for me is not to be some forced laborer that was abused by my brothers. The plan that God has for me is to be in the chamber of the king. And she knew it because she understood that God had a plan of regardless of where she had come from, she knew that there was a future that God had for her because she knew who she was because she spent time with Him. Am I making sense at all here, people? So spiritually, if I want to be spiritually attractive, I have to know who I am. You'll never know that outside of knowing, loving, and worshiping God. Listen to me. Ladies, if you're looking for a man and he's not a worshiper, look elsewhere. Because someone who's uncomfortable being in the presence of God is ultimately uncomfortable with themselves. And you got to understand that God has a plan and a purpose for you. Do you know that? Let me just tell you, this is why we're doing this. Because I want you to know, love, and worship God. And I want you to understand His plan for you. And you'll never do that outside of getting in the Bible. So I'm going to encourage you. There are 8 chapters in Song of Songs. Read a chapter a day and tack one on. Because some of the stuff you read is going to be like, And you're going to see the depth of human love. And let me just tell you right now, this whole series is so that you can learn to love God's way. And God's got a plan. And it begins with you allowing Him to transform you, to know who you are and what He says about you, to understand His plan. He's got a purpose for you. Pursue God's purpose. Listen to me. Pursue God's purpose. Why do we do spiritual discovery, spiritual gifts discovery? Why do we do growth track? Why? So that you can discover and pursue God's purpose for your life. Get into Growth Track. It actually starts, we're starting on Wednesdays, March 20th. We're starting our Values 301. That'll be every Wednesday from 6:30 to 7:30. Plug in. The first one is March 20th, but here's what we're doing. We're having a worship night because it'll be the end of small groups and it'll be the end of small groups and the beginning of values, but I want us to worship together so that you can know who you are and you can pursue God's purpose for your life. Here's the third thing. You have to choose to live God's way. You have to choose to live God's way. I want to be spiritually attractive. Choose to live God's way. What does that look like practically? Have godly standards. Have godly standards. In my marriage, I need to have godly standards. In my relationship with my parents, I need to have godly standards. Spiritual attraction. Here's the second type of attraction. It's emotional attraction. In verse 8, it says this, it says, if you don't know, O most beautiful woman, follow the trail of my flock and graze your young goats by the shepherd's tents. You are as exciting, my darling, as a mare among Pharaoh's stallions. Y'all see that? He's saying, hey, baby, you are as exciting. And this would be the equivalent of a young man because I'm a car guy as well as a music guy. I love cars. Nicest car I ever had was a 1968 Camaro SS, the 327, 350 horse with the cam ignition, even had 100 shot nitro in it that I never used. Everybody else is like, what? But it excited me because it was something exotic. It was a car that was sexy. Do y'all know what I'm talking about, men? Somebody back me up here. I mean, it was a sexy car. It was a very sexy car. And he's saying, you are as exciting to me. They didn't have Camaros, but they did have Pharaoh's stallions, were like the best of the day. You were exciting to me. This is emotional for him. How lovely are your cheeks? Your earrings set them afire. How lovely is your neck, enhanced by a string of jewels. Look at verse 11. He says, we will make for you earrings of gold and beads of silver, speaking to how precious she was. And then the young woman replies, she says, the king is lying on his couch, enchanted by the fragrance of my perfume. Verse 13, my lover is like a sachet of myrrh lying between my breasts. I'm not quite sure what a sachet of myrrh is, but I'm pretty sure that that young man was pretty excited to be there. He's like a bouquet of sweet henna blossoms from the vineyards of En Gedi. This is very emotional. You know, we are in essence spirit. So there's a body, a soul, and a spirit. So spiritual attraction is key, knowing who you are, understanding God's plan for your life, living God's way, spiritual attraction, but emotional attraction. It's our soul, it's our mind, our will, our emotions. How do we build emotional attraction? Here's how, and I think we see it in these verses. Here's the first thing. You think good thoughts about them. You think good thoughts about them. Here's the reality, that your thoughts will come out as words and your words will define the world that you live in. So you begin by thinking good things about them. We look at this young man who says, oh my goodness, you're more exciting than these stallions. You're beautiful. How lovely you are. He's thinking good things about her. And the same thing with this young woman. I mean, it's obvious, like, they love each other and they think the world of each other. Listen to me carefully. My marriage was a wreck. It was terrible. It was messed up. And when it was at its worst, God spoke to my wife, and what he spoke to her changed everything. And I really believe that what he spoke to her is what allowed us to get to the place where it was a healthy and whole marriage and not a difficult, hard, and miserable one. And he spoke to her and said this, focus on the good. Focus on the good. When you focus on the good, God will take care of the rest. Think good thoughts about them. Here's the second thing. You have to speak life over them. Speak life over them. Speak life. Men, you need to be speaking to your wives, life over them. And those of you that are hard on yourselves and you hate yourself, you need to receive when people speak words of life over you. People would tell me, like my mom would tell me, my daddy would sometimes tell me, my wife, no, you're great. Like she would point out, my wife would point out the good things. I go, it's not true, it's a lie. You're lying, you're lying, you're lying. Listen to me, can I tell you? That was so unbelievably foolish, and it was a tactic of the enemy to bring destruction in my marriage because I would not receive good things spoken over me. If that is you, listen to me carefully. You're playing into the plan for the destruction of the relationships in your life because you're not receiving truth. Did y'all hear me on that? Think good things, speak life. And here's the third thing. You have to value them, value them, value them. This speaks to honor, which goes all the way back to Exodus chapter 20 with the foundational relationship in our life that we are to honor our father and our mother. Can I just tell you, we are called to live lives of honor, that even when people are being dishonorable, that we choose to think and focus on the good things because whatever you focus on is magnified. We choose to speak words of life and we value them. Listen to me. Every wife, men, wants you to sit down and value who they are. How do you do that? You listen to them. You listen to them. I'm just telling you right now. Like if you just say, well, tell me about your day. And they begin to tell you and go, oh, that's interesting. Tell me more about that. That is like the sexiest thing in the world for them. Because you're valuing who they are. Ladies, your husbands, that it's not about who they are, it's what they've done. And when you value what they've done, you're valuing them. Spiritual attraction, emotional attraction. Here's the third one. It's physical attraction. It's sexual attraction. And it's good because it was invented by God. Look at what the young man says in verse 15. How beautiful you are, my darling. How beautiful. Your eyes are like doves. So you see the progression here. I mean, hey, I know who I am. Oh, I think you're pretty hot and amazing. And now they're going into a physical description of each other. And this is the progression of attraction. Focus on the thing that is the essence of who I am spiritually. Take thoughts captive, think only good, speak only life, value people. And then how beautiful you are. Look at verse 16 and 17. The young woman says, "You are so handsome, my love, pleasing beyond words. The soft grass is our bed. Fragrant cedar branches are the beams of our house, and pleasant smelling firs are the rafters." Chapter 2, verse 1. The young woman says, "I am the spring crocus blooming on the Sharon plain, the lily of the valley." And the young man says, "Like a lily among thistles is my darling among young women." And then the young woman, this is her discourse. She says this, "Like the finest apple tree in the orchard." Stop right there. Two things were considered aphrodisiacs at this time: apples and raisins. And look what she says. "Like the finest apple tree in the orchard is my lover, a young other young man. I sit in his delightful shade and I taste his delicious fruit. He escorts me to the banquet hall, and it's obvious how much he loves me." Men, is it obvious how much your wife is loved by you? Strength, she's saying this, "Strengthen me with raisin cakes." It's getting very erotic. "Strengthen me with raisin cakes. Refresh me with apples." And she's like, "Baby, put on some sexy music. Get the wine, get the oysters, for I am weak with love. His left arm is under my head, and his right arm embraces me." Y'all see the picture? Y'all remember where he was taking her in the beginning? They're in the bedroom, but there's a progression, dealing with the essence of who we are. What we think, what we speak, what we value, manifesting itself physically. "His left arm is under my head, his right arm embraces me." And look at verse 7. "Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and the wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right." There's a right time to fully express physical affection. It's within the bounds of marriage. And let me just encourage you. Know who you are. Understand God's plan for your life. But listen to me. Live God's way. Live God's way. And when you do, this is the truth that you'll find. You'll come to love not by finding the perfect person, but by seeing the imperfect person perfectly. You'll find love, not by finding the perfect person, because they don't exist, but by seeing the imperfect person perfectly. And you may be sitting there saying, "Yeah, well, you don't know my wife. You don't know my husband." Or you may say, "You don't know my past." But I'm telling you right now, when you allow God to work on the truth of who you are, that you embrace his plan for your life and you start to walk it out. You start to take your thoughts captive. You refuse to speak negatively. You refuse to speak critically of anyone. Love takes care of itself. And you'll come to love. You're not gonna find the perfect person, but you'll be able to see the imperfect person perfectly. I'm going to end with this, and it's a declaration. There is a renewal coming. Listen to me carefully. I'm telling you, there is a renewal coming. As we say, "Lord, deal with me. Deal with me that I know who I am. I'm going to live by your plan because I know what it is. I'm going to choose to walk it out. I'm going to take every thought captive." That's 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. It says, "Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. I'm only going to speak words of life and not death." Listen to me carefully. And I'm telling you, this is a prophetic word, that there is a renewal coming. It's a renewal to commitment. It's new commitment to the people in our lives, to the relationships that we are walking in right now, our marriages, our closest relationships, that there's a new commitment that is coming on us. There's a new consecration. That's the second thing. There's a new consecration. That means there's a holiness, that there's something that we set apart our heart, our mind, our soul, our lives for the relationships that God has put us in. And listen to me, there's a new celebration that's coming. Listen to me, I'm just telling you. This house is a house of prayer and it's a house of worship. And God has called us and created us to live that life of worship, not just on Sunday mornings, but outside of these walls. But let me just tell you for a moment, what happens when we make a commitment to God and others? When we consecrate ourselves, we cleanse ourselves, we allow God to set us apart for His work, and we come and we celebrate and worship, He does some amazing things. And listen, I'm telling you, some of you need that. Let's bow our heads. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, this message was for me. And I just really feel that some of you, you were like me. You're like I was. I didn't know who I was. I didn't see myself correctly. I understood God's plan, but I was unable to walk it out because I didn't know Him well enough to know me. And I'm just telling you, there's some of you here that you hate you. That you hate you. And that you feel like the monster in the nightmare. And I'm telling you today that God will open your eyes to see the truth of who you are if you trust Him, seek Him, and pursue Him. Maybe you're here today and say, that's me, Pastor. If you're here and you just feel like you just hate you. It's not even you're the issue. You just hate you. I really feel this message is for you. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, it's me that's the problem. Raise your hand. Come on, raise them high. Don't be ashamed. Raise them up as high. Stretch them out. Come on. Father, I just pray for those with their hands raised right now. I just pray that you meet them right where they are. That God, that they begin to see themselves as you see them. That Lord, that they don't see themselves through the lens of the lie of the enemy, but they see themselves through the lens of the truth in your word to them. And they receive that they're not the tail, that they're the head, that they're not the weakest, that they're the greatest in you. May you bless them and be with them. You can put your hands down. And maybe you're here and you know that your relationships are messed up, but it's messed up because your relationship with God is messed up. And I'm telling you right now, He's calling you to Him. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I know my relationship with God, I am very far from Him. Today, He's calling you. He's calling you to a fresh start with Him. Jesus sits on the throne. He says, this is Revelation. He says, behold, I make all things new. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I need my relationship with God to be made new. If that's you, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see y'all. Let's all of us pray. Say, dear God, cleanse me. Forgive me for my sin. Make me right with you. I receive your forgiveness. My life is yours. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, can we give those folks a hand? We'll be out of here in about 30 seconds. Please don't step out yet. Listen, get the booklets. Get plugged into God's word. And if God did something in you today, fill out a connection card in the seat back in front of you. Drop it in the boxes by the door on the way out, or bring it to the connection center. Or better yet, you see our crosses that are projected on the side walls. Our ministry team will be at the base of those crosses today. If you need prayer, don't walk out without connecting with someone. If you're going through a relationally tough season, go pray with somebody that can stand with you and encourage you. So why don't we all stand together? Did you have a good Sunday? Man, I'm telling you, I say it all the time, but it's so true. The best is yet to come as we trust Him. And so, Father, I pray blessing on everyone here. May you bless them as they put their hand to the plow and ripping up rough, tough, hard areas of their life, and may you bless them as they follow you and serve you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Love you guys. God bless. Have a great Sunday.